welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guess is Billy Young from Arizona. Man, thanks for hanging on, man.
So
go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, I sit here and I ponder and I ask again, the question I was asking you was, why is it that you think a lot of people, they just don't want to own this? You cannot dispute history. So therefore, we know that the slave trade, you know, when you start dropping certain words, people are automatically, man, they're going to tune out. You say slavery, I don't want to hear about it. You say forced labor, I don't want to hear about it. You talk about, you know, those kinds of issues, racism, some people just, they don't want to own that, man. They don't want to own it in the sense that they had anything to do with it, that white privilege may be a concept out there, but, you know, I grew up and I got my own, so why shouldn't I be measured in the same way on the level of playing field that anybody else? The phrase was, raise yourself up by your own bootstraps. Well, I absolutely believe in that concept 100%. The point is, if I don't have any boots, let alone any bootstraps, right? And I've been denied the opportunity to access boots and bootstraps, then that's a different conversation, because from the very beginning, I was in Wisconsin, man, when they were building like 8-10 brand new prisons. They were not building prisons without the anticipation that those prisons over the next 10, 20, 30 years would be full of prisoners. So part of that is economic. Part of it is that people are like, that's history. I'm not a part of that. Let's move on. I'm a good person. Okay, Earl, there are some people who are genuinely committed to true equity, true diversity. I believe that. So you know what? If they have a connection to resource that can empower people and include people in a more general and inclusive way, let's stop talking about it. Their hands are out and open. What can we do? I'm at the next level, man. I mean, I hear what we go through. But, you know, we also have some responsibilities ourselves to look at what we do have and begin just actualize those resources to getting to where we want to get to. We're two generations deep into this, man. A lot of people are not even hearing this, let alone responding to some sort of, you know, as you alluded to, mobilization, man. The political process on this is only so much of the answer. You know, you have to engage people, particularly those people who have resources and have a genuine desire to include, in a way now as we're sitting across, okay, so what can we do? Is it programs, initiatives, you know, it's a lot of different ideas. And we've been through this discussion before, but to sort of keep, it's not in the sense beating a dead, what are we looking for in a response from people who say, okay, yes, white privilege exists. Yes. There are racists on the fringe over here. Yes. We don't like what's going on. Yes. Okay. We got it, man. What's the next thing? God, you're not going to change those people's minds, nor are you, as much as you're not going to sort of change or persuade or influence the minds of who you're trying to help the most, the needy, because they're not in that process.
So Billy, so what I would say is, you look at many different urban centers where the investment in those centers have basically been completely removed. And people who attempt to do things to get resources to rebuild those neighborhoods and communities run up against things from banks, lending institutions. It's not just the average everyday Joe. Businesses themselves who work hard and try to get loans to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And they are met with what we are talking about here, Billy. It's not just Earl. Go ahead.
At the same time, man. Okay, and you know, you're sort of making the point. You're right. Redlining, access to loans, man, all of that has been going on. Come on, man. God. Okay, nobody.
So what do you do,
that.
Billy? You just keep accepting that? You just keep overlooking that? And we have to learn to work around that?
No. Yeah. Well, to some degree, we do. Because, you know, man, I mean, the more it's like if the wind is blowing hard, you got a jacket on. You know that the analogy, man. But if you expect these people to succumb or kowtow to public pressure, man, hey, come on, man. To me, you have to work smart. Then what we begin to do is we begin to go now to these financial institutions and these people of wealth and these investment companies, et cetera, who are talking about and find people who are, in fact, now empowered to make policy change. But we deal with a whole cadre, man, of people in D.C., and they are completely, totally focused on policy change. Policy change is going to take a much longer time.
That's correct.
But there are some things that you can do with businesses locally. I know that the vision here is global, or certainly is national. And maybe what happens in Kansas or in Wyoming or in Maine, right? But to the degree, a lot of that, what happens in these in Milwaukee is, man, you know. I was surprised. Milwaukee's 30th in the country. But what happens in the central city of Milwaukee is absolutely just a microcosm of what's happening in central cities and larger communities. I mean, it's all the same. Again, one of the things that I just hate about Milwaukee and Wisconsin, I hate using that word, is this lack of ability to see that the commonality. Sometimes we're the worst in the most worst segregated number one. Man, you think there's that much difference between number one, number two, number 10, number 20? Racism is racism. Ostracism, I mean, you know, exclusion is exclusion, man. Get past the mentality. Pick up the phone. You got an issue. There's some good things happening. My answer to you is this, man. Yes, that we find empowerment and inclusion and opportunity within those companies that have influence on Wall Street, in D.C., on Wisconsin Avenue, in Madison, whatever it might be, who are looking for the opportunity to address this and begin the process. Just like we're two generations into this, it's going to take a while to get past.
So, Billy, I don't disagree with that at all. There's a place for those who will look at it from the perspective that you and others look at it from. But just like it was when Dr. King was around, there's a place for people to challenge the nation to live up to what it claims it is. And then when it chooses not to do that, that you continue to say, hey, I'm an American citizen too. I have the same birthright. And so yes. I'm not going to accept second-class birthright in a nation that professes something else.
And nobody's asked you to do that.
No, Billy.
Nobody's asked you to do that.
No, Billy. I'm saying, not me. I'm talking about many people in this society.
Me. I mean that right. Collectively.
Right.
Man. Nobody's asking. We need to, and again... This is a multifaceted approach.
No question.
And I'm telling you, we need to stop relying on elected officials.
I don't.
Because if there's no greater example of, dare I say, I don't want to say failure, man, but certainly have fallen way short. And here's the amazing thing about a place like Milwaukee, man, or even Wisconsin to some degree. But understand, I travel the state. And in fact, Earl, imagine if you grew up in La Crosse, Eau Claire, Manitowoc, Two Rivers, Janesville, any of these places, man. and dealing with these issues, it's not even, it was never part of your life. You know, you grew up unaware of any of this. Why at some point in your educational journey, your social, economic, outcoming, that are now all of a sudden, oh, wow, racism, exclusion, now I have to make amends for that when it wasn't even, never even a part of my life? Hey, come on, man. We must, from a survival standpoint, if we have families, if we have career plans, we've got to survive in the environment where we are, or we got to change our environments. Period.
So,
Wisconsin is always and will always be a challenge. And we're, in fact, the folks I'm involved with, man, we are supporting and have been academic advancement of these young guys we're dealing with a sort of unwritten promise that once we sort of help them, in the initial stages of their professional development, they'll come back to Milwaukee.
And that's a good thing that you guys are working with that group of young men. I'm working with a group of young men myself. I'm not a person who sits back and just talks. And anybody who knows me and knows my record, there's action behind it. But at the same time, I look at the masses of children, the masses of people. And because you know what? When I was a young person, the masses were always the reflection of the society. And so when you see such a large percentage and a direction that things are going, it's hard for me to accentuate the positive when I know that far too many human beings continue to have a life or future that is questionable at best. In the land of plenty. Got to go to break. Hang on, Billy. Hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Go ahead. Yep.
My brother sitting me right down and he talked to me.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Mr. Billy Young is on the line. Go ahead, Billy.
Listen, man, I'm going to tell you something, right? First of all, man, I really respect you, Earl. I've been around and have had an opportunity from both close up and afar to see how you have risen just in terms of not just notoriety, but in terms of credibility in the community, man. And I commend you for that. And I commend Mike and everybody who's involved with keeping, hoping to try to keep some balance as far as the conversation is concerned. And I'm all about that. So first, I commend you for that, my brother.
Thank you.
Secondly, I grew up in L.A. I went to school in New York. I lived for 30 years in Milwaukee. So I have a broad perspective in many ways. And the point you were last making to me, man, relative to sort of the masses, relative to opportunity, relative to America for us, and you can define us in whatever way you want to. Have you ever been overseas? I know you were in the military, but have you ever been overseas?
London.
To a what I would call what we would define as a third world country.
I've never been to a third world country.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. We do not know how good we have it. And I haven't been all over the world, brother, but I'm going to tell you this, man. A couple of years ago, I went to the Philippines. And I understood, having lived in Compton, South Central, knowing from Brooklyn to Bronx to Manhattan, and knowing every inch and crook and cranny of Milwaukee, man. And see, again, perspective. If some of the folks here who bellyache and complain about their conditions, not that they're perfect, not that they're great, not certainly that they're not problematic, but you go to a place in the world, man, where people are, you know, have all, they grow up on the street, they use the toilet on the street, they cook and they eat and they clean and they live on the street, have been all their lives, in multiple families and just people everywhere, and see the conditions there, then you get a different perspective.
So, Billy, are you comparing Calcutta to the United States of America? Are you comparing the Philippines to the United States of America? I don't see the correlation between the Philippines and the wealthiest nation on earth. So when we talk about the way people live in those nations, those are third world nations. They're not the most powerful and the wealthiest nation on earth. And I don't think the American citizens should ever be compared and their lifestyles to people who live in those third world nations.
Okay, well, so we're going to disagree, Earl, because here's the deal, man. We throw around these qualitative, not quantitative, terms, opinion, the greatest nation, the most, who says who?
I said the most powerful, militarily, the wealthiest nation on earth, based on our military might, Billy.
Oh, my, okay. So let's put military in a silo, because in all these other areas, academic excellence, science and technology, and
I know we're not there. But because we don't look at it from that perspective, it is why we continue to be the most powerful military nation on earth, because we have fallen along those lines.
Don't miss my point, Earl. Don't miss my point here, right? Here's my point, man. That many people, again, who would either consider themselves based on the national poverty line, or because mentally they just, you know, maybe even akin. Recently, after the economic stimulus, there was this whole, in fact, we're still suffering. I know people in Milwaukee who can't get people to work because there's this mentality of entitlement. We have as much of a responsibility ourselves, Earl, to stop bellyaching and stop pointing the finger and stop whatever our I don't know what the expectations are of, okay, we agree, it's there. What is the next step, man? Accept the fact that there are people on that end of the spectrum who are not going to hear you, don't want to hear you, are not going to be involved in that conversation on both ends. But where do we want to be in a year? Where do we want to be in 5 years? And yes, have we continued to have this conversation over? Yes, we have. So what's the difference in my lifetime between the time I was first time voting, et cetera, in California, and now 30 or some odd years, 40 years later, 50 years later, seeing the same exact repercussions and fallout of economic exclusion and outright racism? What's the difference, Earl? Well, I would tell you that I have seen the work of people I've come in contact with over my lifetime, having had the wonderful experience of having spent that time in Milwaukee. And people know me, man. People in Milwaukee know me. And I'm not from radio. I mean, you know, I travel the state as a referee, but that kept me connected to the educational, to academia. That kept me connected to politicians. Mandela Barnes is, you know, someone we've seen grow up as a young man in Milwaukee. But we also dealt with Scott Walker, who ran for unsuccessfully, though it may have been, for president of the United States on two occasions. What does that say? That's there's opportunity, man. That means that there's opportunity potentially to get to that level if we can get past the frustration. Not action. Let's make it happen.
So Billy, man, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out this morning, man. It won't be the last time. Really enjoyed it. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Anytime, man.
All right.
God bless you.
That's Mr. Billy Young, good friend from Arizona. Always glad to hear from him. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to talk a little bit now about Robert Cremo, the young man who murdered seven people and injured over 24 others on the 4th of July parade in. And the fact that his father, who purchased the weapons for his son, five to be exact, says he has nothing to do. He's not culpable for his son's attacks. What say you? Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I say to you constantly, I don't hide things over the airways. Many people by now know that my oldest son is bipolar and schizophrenic and has suffered mental illness for the last 20 or more years of his life. And understanding that, as I do, would I then, as a father, turn around and buy him five weapons because I feel like he has a right to own weapons? Knowing that my son is mentally ill. So a man buys his mentally ill son an assault weapon and other weapons and all of that ammunition. And then his son goes and does what this young man did. And he has, in his mind, he has no involvement whatsoever in what his son did with those weapons. Well, you know, again, speaking from the perspective of a father who apparently was in the same shoes as Mr. Cremo, as Cremo's dad, having a son that was mentally ill. Clearly his son had mental illness. Any person who threatens to kill his entire family publicly. And law enforcement and others had been engaged, involved, had repeated contact with this young boy at the time that he was a young boy, knew that something was not right and proper. And yet his dad believed that none of those things mattered. His so-called Second Amendment right somehow was more important than the fact that his son was mentally ill. The father of the alleged Highland Park parade shooter, Bobby Cremo Jr., has told ABC News that he is not culpable in the Independence Day attack in spite of having signed a consent form for his son to apply for gun ownership. So what kind of person who knows, again, that his son has threatened to murder the entire family, then thinks it's all right to go and give a okay for his son to buy these weapons and then execute what he executed, that's all right. Listen, I get it. I tell people all the time, and I'm not opposed to people who own guns. I don't own any, right? And I'm not ever going to own one. That's my right, as well as those who have rights to own them. But when somebody thinks that's okay, and all of these people's, all these people whose lives have been forever changed by this young man, somehow think that's okay because he had this right. He was doing what he thought was in the best interest of his son. What's in the best interest of an individual never should ever supersede what's in the interest, best interest of the masses of the people. That's just common sense, you know. But we live in a society where it's me, 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 I. And so, you know, I'm going to do what's best for me. You know, I talked with Sandy on yesterday about this. And we had a conversation about the fact that we live in a society that is more concerned with me, 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 I. That's exactly what's one of the main issues. Been that way, will always be that way, as if people somehow live on the planet alone. The selfishness that exists in this society. You see it everywhere, every day. For heaven's sakes, a lack of concern about fellow human beings. I get it. It's easy to focus on you. Doesn't cost you anything. It focuses solely about you and what your accomplishments and what you've done. That's fine. You know, I just think there's a broader picture than, you know, what an individual and their rights are. This dad said, I had no inkling, no warning that this was going to happen. What are you talking about? Your son got caught with all of those knives. Law enforcement came to take them away because he threatened to kill a bunch of people. How can you say you had no inkling about what happened? You absolutely had an inkling about what happened, that what would happen. There was a sign right before you. Should have been in neon. And you ignored it. And now that it's time, and now that your son has done a horrific act, there's no way for you to now act as if you had no involvement whatsoever in it. You are an accomplice. You may not realize it, and it may not be lawful, but in the lives of the families who have lost their loved ones, that's different. Let's go to Gary in Sussex.
Hey, Earl, I 100% agree with you. I have no idea what this guy's dad was thinking when I heard that he was threatening to kill himself and kill his family. And if you know you have problems, and yeah, these are the people that are going to go out there and do mass killings. And also, if anybody thinks it's over, it's not over. It's going to happen over and over and over again. There'll be more of these crazy people out there doing things. But one question that I have is I want to hold, and this dad should be held accountable. I didn't realize that a father could co-sign for somebody to get a gun. Either you can get a gun or you can't. If you're 18 years old, you can purchase it. I didn't know that he had to have a co-signer, and I don't know how that works, Earl. But I want to hold judges responsible, too. And it,
what does this have to do with a judge?
Well, no, I'm just saying, any time that you know that a person is violent, and then you release these guys, and they go out there and they commit murder, then these judges should be held accountable.
Gary, I know, but why do we have to go to the next step and talk about the guys who are being released? Why is that even a conversation about this man and what he did for his son and what his son wound up doing?
I agree. But we're just making a point about just a father knowing that his son is bad and letting him get a gun.
My point is, though, Gary,
I agree with you, Earl.
You throw in the caveat about judges as if there's a correlation between what this guy did and a judge. There is not.
I'm saying everybody should be held accountable. This father should be held accountable knowing that his son is dangerous and he went out there and committed all these murders.
But Gary, I'm challenging you on the add-on about, well, judges who let criminals go, who committed. I mean, that's...
What do you think? Wait, Earl, I asked you a question. What do you think? What do I think about these judges that are stopped on crime and let these guys go and commit murders?
It has nothing to do with this conversation. All it right. is something completely separate than this conversation. And so, again, if I was going to be talking about judges being soft on crime, I have no problem having a conversation with you about that.
All right, I'll call you
but,
next week.
But Gary, to add that is where I have a problem, man. You know, again, the fact that this man was at the root of all of those people being murdered, he knows his son. He knows his son.
100%.
And yet he didn't think it was a big issue. And I know, you know, his dad was a pro-gun guy and believed so much in that Second Amendment right that he disavowed the kind of mental condition that his son was in, because in his mind, he has the Second Amendment right to own the guns. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, I don't think any person with a mental illness should be running around with a gun. And I believe in good background checks. I agree 100% with what you're saying this morning. 100%, not 99. But what I'm saying is that, you know, since I live in Waukesha, and I, you know, this guy that came in from Milwaukee was released, knowing that the guy ran over his girlfriend and took a car and come in here and did mass murder out down in the parade, you know. That's what I'm saying. These judges should be held accountable that let these guys out, knowing that they're criminals and they're violent. So I'm just saying that. And I'll talk to you next week about it. We can talk some more.
All right, man. Thank you very much for the
call. Have a nice weekend, Earl.
Yep.
Bye.
Let's go to phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to CJ.
Earl, thank you for taking my call. I first want to commend you, like your previous guest, Billy, for what you've done in your community. But the mere fact Gary was trying to explain that till consequences, and I believe that father should be charged for signing for those guns for his kid, and I think he should be charged. But why should Second Amendment people be punished to try to contain people in Milwaukee are going to all of a sudden bring their guns? How many other people were killed in Milwaukee, Chicago?
You're breaking up, man. You're breaking up. Can't hear you. Hang up, call back. Hang up, call back. You're breaking up. Phone lines are open at 844. Hang up. He's got to call back. He's breaking up.
Now.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll call back. Thanks, Earl.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. What I don't understand is all these side conversations about what about the people in Milwaukee? What about this? What about that? Is it so difficult that we can't focus on this situation that is fresh, that is new, that just took place? We wanna gloss over the fact that these people were just slaughtered a few days ago. Well, we know, yeah, he should be charged, but let's talk about something else. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go back to the phone lines. CJ. Go ahead, CJ.
Hey, Earl. I hope I got a better connection.
You're better. Go ahead.
Well, you know, again, I commend you for what you've done in your community. I did want to talk to Billy Young and ask him, because I think he and I agree that we are blessed to live in this country. The downfall is the family structure. Wherever you see it, it's increased. Education is the way out for these kids, and government is not the answer, just like Ronald Reagan said. Education, learning, and going out and working your butt off. These young men that are, the father should be charged. I believe the father should be charged when he signed for those weapons. And the kid used them as a weapon. The punishing of law-abiding citizens is not going to solve this problem. The criminals in Chicago and Milwaukee are not going to turn their guns in once you change these laws.
Hey, CJ. I will say the same thing to you as I said to Gary. My subject and what I'm talking about is a young man and a father who slaughtered 7 people and injured 24 others. And so I'm not going to allow you or Gary to flip that to talk about the young men in Milwaukee or the young men in Chicago or anything else. The focus again, once again, is the fact that what this young man did has been repeated time and time again. And yet we know there's going to be another one and another one and another one. And guys like you slip past the fact that these kinds of weapons are in this society for one reason and one reason alone. And you don't want to address that.
I do too. It's simply false, Earl. The fact is that the person has a mental illness. He shouldn't have had a gun. The parent signed for the gun. The father should be convicted. So we are talking about the same thing. But what about the other 15 that died in your city? Every weekend this goes on. Every weekend, Earl. It isn't just a one-time thing.
Hey, let me say this to you, CJ. And my answer to that is this. The fact that we have laws in this country that allow me, a man who has no criminal past, not juvenile, not as an adult, can go and buy weapons, and I have to have background checks run on me and a waiting period, and then I can take that weapon and sell it to anybody, anywhere, and not be held accountable for that.
I didn't say you shouldn't.
Wait a minute then. So you can't say and talk about what happens in these cities when people can come into the cities and sell these guns to anybody. Ask the question, how do guns get there? If you aren't willing to address that part of it, then stop talking about the rest of it. Because
right,
it's the way the guns, it's the way those guns get into the hands of these young people.
Well, a law-abiding citizen would not go into the inner city and sell the guns. Right there, that guy's a criminal. So he should be charged too, just like this.
Yeah, but he's not. But he doesn't get charged. I'm not talking about hearsay. I'm not talking about what you feel. I'm talking about what the laws are now. They are not charged with that.
The city is living it. It's not talking about my feelings. Those cities are living it.
What are you talking about? I live in one of those cities.
Exactly.
Okay. So, because I live in one of those cities and I watch the carnage, and I know that there are people who come from outside of the city and sell those weapons to these young boys and get away with it because there's no law that prevents them from doing it.
Well, if the law-abiding citizen buys the weapon, it has a serial number, it goes into the city, and it's used in a carnage. Like, I don't know where you think these criminals are going to turn in their guns or all of a sudden be honest people. It just isn't going to happen, Earl. And these judges like Gaskin in L.A.
is recalled because
he's weak on crime.
Thank you.
You want to gloss
you.
Over that part of the subject.
Cut him off, man. Cut him off. And I'm cutting you off. Cut him off, Connor. And I'm cutting him off because I get tired of that same tired argument. I'm never justifying anybody in committing crimes. There are criminals everywhere, including in Skokie or wherever it is you live, CJ. But the fact that there are people who allow and bring weapons and sell them to children who hide behind being law-abiding citizens. But then they turn around and sell those guns and get and walk away with their hands clean. That's my issue. Gotta go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Mr. Billy Young. Always good talking to you. We'll soon see each other again. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Connor. See everybody on tomorrow. Goodbye. We'll be right back.